Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
This is Tracy.
This is Samantha.
This is The Suspended Sentence.
Grab your latte and join us as we enter season two, starting January 1st of 2024.
A year packed full of serial killers that you may or may not have ever heard of.
Thanks for being there.
Stay safe.
Yo, what is up, my friends? Welcome to What the French Toast, your favorite podcast on the internet that leaves you asking yourself the question, what the French toast did I just listen to? I'm Skylar.
I'm Megan. And just a heads up, side effects of this podcast may include goosebumps, jaw drops, and uncontrollable what the French toast moments.
Look, we get it, okay? You're tired of the same old podcasts.
You want weird, but in like a fun way, not my cousin just joined a cult weird.
Right. So if true crime keeps you glued to the couch.
And if conspiracies make you suspicious of your Alexa.
Or if ghosts and cryptids sound like really solid Friday night plans.
Then congrats, you found your podcast.
We're just two best friends, and we probably laugh way too hard while also diving into the bizarre, the chilling, and honestly, the straight-up unexplainable.
But we don't promise answers, just chaos and good vibes.
New episodes drop every single Thursday wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Come and get weird with us.
Alrighty, welcome back to Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy. Thanks for joining us once again, everybody.
Yes, thank you.
What kind of story do you have for us today, Mom?
Before I get into my story, I have to make a gigantic retraction from our episode last week, which the stories were fine. My chaser, however, was not fine. If you haven't listened to that one and you're just now listening, I made the recommendation to watch the show Monster, the Ed Gein story, and now I am gigantically retracting that recommendation because I finished watching it, and it was terrible. It was not a good story. I feel like they took the basic bones of Ed Gein and then just decided they were going to make up a bunch of shit.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I like docudramas like that, but I feel like they can go askew pretty bad.
It definitely and did.
Knowing his story, I don't really want to see that anyways.
No.
I'm not a fan of gore and stuff like that, so I kind of just avoided it. But after you texted me later that day after we recorded, I was like, I take it back. I was
like, yeah, because I think it was like,
I don't want to watch
the fourth episode that we got into, and I was like, oh my God, this is so gross and this is so vile. And everything up to that point was like, oh, that's interesting. I mean, it's kind of yucky, but it's interesting. And then this just like the last three episodes or so went completely off the rails.
So my coworker
just terrible.
For Halloween, she was Jack Black from Jumanji. We all played different Jack Blacks.
Right. And that's so fun.
She had like a fake mask. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It looked like, you know, the brown paper towels, like the cheap ones.
Yeah.
At like restrooms. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It looked like that she had cut in like ear holes in and like a mouth shape in. Oh. And she showed up with that because I show up pretty early in the morning compared to the other coworkers. And she hadn't drawn the beard on yet. So it just looked like a flap of skin over her face. And I said she looked like Ed Gein. And then later in the day, a pen blew up in her pocket. And so she decided to color it red and says like, oh, I got shot. And I was like, no, that's your mother's blood because you're Ed Gein.
Yuck. Yuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, I retract my recommendation. It's not a good show.
Yeah.
It was.
I figured it wouldn't be.
It was gross. My problem with it is they just made shit up, blatantly made shit up to make the story sound better. Like they made connections In it, they had...
I don't know why they would need to. His story's so...
I don't know.
Like...
They had part of the story that Ed Gein was exchanging letters with another serial killer in another state. And then that guy was communicating with Ted Bundy. And then Ed Gein supposedly communicated with the FBI and told them... It was... all fake. Like, they made it seem like this actually happened, but it was 100% fake. I looked it up. I was like, is there any... And it said flat out, no, there is no evidence that either of these two serial killers talked to each other, communicated in any way. No. And I was like, oh, well, you just made shit up because it was completely unnecessary. The last two episodes were unnecessary.
That is annoying.
That's my retraction. But moving on to today's story, I'm going to tell you about a weird sound. We're going to talk about sounds again.
Is it the wow signal? Did we already cover that?
No, we did the wow signal. Yeah.
Okay.
We did the wow signal. This kind of reminiscent of Havana syndrome, just the sound-wise. So, but it's not Havana syndrome because we already did that. But this is a weird
sound. I was
hoping
it would be about the UFO comet that's coming around.
No.
31 Alpha or
3I Alpha. I think it's 3I Alpha.
Yeah. Everyone was making a big hype about it. And then I saw no news. So I think it might just be a comet. No. But
I don't know.
Anyway,
what are you going to be talking about today?
Today, I'm going to be talking about Ronald O'Brien, also known as the Candyman.
Oh, there's too many Candymans.
There is a lot. And he had multiple nicknames, but that one was the only one I remembered because I didn't.
Okay.
The nicknames were kind of, I didn't feel it important to the story. But anyways, to go with this, I have the Pixie Stick cocktail. To make this cocktail, it's a 1/2 ounce of vodka, 1/2 ounce of amaretto, 2 ounces of pineapple juice, 1/2 ounce coconut rum, 1/2 ounce blue curacao, 1/2 ounce sweet and sour mix, and 1/2 ounce of DeCooper Island blue pucker. So really basically equal ingredients except for pineapple juice, but
this is
throw
a
it all
drink.
In a shaker with ice cubes. And it is. It's like an adios motherfucker, but like without...
Yes.
All the good stuff in it.
Right. I am not holding out any kind of hope that this is going to taste good whatsoever. I think it's going to be gross. That's my prediction.
Me either. It looks nice, but
it's pretty.
This is something that you give to a...
It smells good.
A drunk white girl at the end of the night who only has like...
Oh, for
bucks.
Sure. It just smells it good.
Let's give it a
try. Smell the... A hint of the coconut, but definitely the pineapple.
I think that needs to be chased with like an insulin shot.
It's pretty sweet.
It's very sweet.
Yeah. There's too many competing flavors. Like,
it's like people that like pickles and peanut butter. Like, food should mix when you eat it. But when you eat pickles and peanut butter, you just taste pickle and then peanut butter. They don't combine
the new
flavor.
I've never tried pickles and peanut butter, and I'm a little worried as to why you have tried that.
Because everyone says it's fucking good, and then I tried it one time. They've made me try it because I was like, there's no way that's possible. There's no possible way that's good. They made me
eat it. I've never heard in my life anyone say to eat that.
It's like bite. Pickle, bite peanut butter, bite pickle. Like you're chewing it in your mouth and it's just, they don't combine at all.
Weird. No.
But also, I don't like peanut butter. So maybe that's why, but.
Maybe. I like both of those things and I don't need to ever put them together. Thanks, but no thanks.
I just like pickles. So anyways, let's get into Ronald O'Brien.
Yes.
On Halloween of 1974, Timothy O'Brien, his sister Elizabeth, his father, his neighbor, and his neighbor's two children were out trick-or-treating, as one would do on Halloween. Also, I should have done this last week, but I didn't even realize this took place on Halloween till after I wrote it. So you're getting it a week late.
That's okay.
But the group walked house to house throughout the neighborhood. The kids would walk up to the house, ask for candy as the dads watched from the sidewalk, and move to the next house after receiving their treats. This continued throughout the night. Most households in the neighborhood participated, so when they reached the house with all the lights off and the blinds shut, they thought it was a little weird. The kids knocked with no answer and left shortly after knocking and continued on to the next house. Ronald, Timothy's father, told the group to continue and he would knock on the door until someone answered.
No, you just houses. Go to the next house.
Yeah. Don't
if
bother.
If the lights
them.
Aren't on.
I didn't turn my lights on for Halloween because I didn't have any candy. And it's illegal to give White Claws to kids, and that's all I had in my fridge.
Yeah, don't do that.
So a few houses down the block, Ronald reconnected with the group and produced five large pixie sticks. And I forgot these even existed. Everyone knows the normal pixie stick that's like the size of like a number two pencil kind of.
Yeah.
It's like the same size.
Yeah.
These were 22-inch pixie sticks. I forgot that the big ones existed. Because I love
pixie
sticks.
I haven't seen them.
I haven't seen pixie sticks since I was...
Forever. Like,
at least 15 years, probably. I haven't seen a
the
pixie
little
stick.
Ones I've seen, but not a giant one.
I haven't seen the big ones, or I haven't seen the little ones either. Like, I haven't, can't remember
you can
the last
still
time
find them
pixie
in
stick.
Some stores. Yeah. Hmm.
If you see them, buy them, because I love pixie sticks. But
okay.
Anyways, he produced five large pixie sticks. He told the group that the person in the house was slow to open the door and handed Ronald the pixie sticks to give to his kids. Ronald gave Timothy and Elizabeth, not Emily, a pixie stick, as well as his neighbor's kids a pixie stick as well. With one left over, Ronald gave it to a boy passing by that he recognized from his church, and the group continued trick-or-treating. After a night of ghouls and goblins, the families returned to their respective homes to admire their candy bounty. As they were getting ready for bed, the kids begged Robert for some of their candy, and he obliged and let them choose a few pieces to eat before bed. Timothy chose the biggest piece of candy in his bag, the giant pixie stick. Timothy struggled to get the sweet powder out of the tube, so Ronald helped him. After dumping the whole pixie stick in his mouth, Timothy noticed that the candy was actually quite bitter and tasted awful. Ronald gave him some Kool-Aid to wash down the taste. A few minutes after eating the pixie stick, Timothy ran to the bathroom and started vomiting before having a seizure.
Oh my gosh.
Ronald rushed in, picked up his son before rushing to the hospital. However, Timothy passed away before he arrived at the hospital.
Oh.
After news of Timothy's death hit the community, there was an outroar. Parents turned in all their kids' candy over to the police, believing that someone was out there poisoning kids' candy.
Of
everyone
course,
in the community
that's what you would
started
think.
Pointing fingers, and everyone was on edge. After speaking with police, they determined that the five pixie sticks that Ronald had received from the house were poisoned. Forensic testing determined that someone had poured out the first few inches of the pixie stick and replaced it with potassium cyanide, which I think is just cyanide that you used to.
Yeah. Not good.
The parents giving the candy to police, four out of the five pixie sticks were recovered.
So just the one that
around.
That
well,
Timothy...
Well, no, because they got the one that Timothy ate, but there's one still floating around out there.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
The kids that Ronald gave the candy to from his church, his parents were freaked out because they couldn't find the giant pixie stick in his candy bag anywhere. They ran upstairs to their son's room where they found him unconscious with the pixie stick in his hand.
Oh,
but it was
shit.
Unopened because he couldn't get the staples off. So he was just asleep and he had it in his hand.
Wow.
The parents turned this into the police and they discovered it was poisoned as well. That kid survived. He didn't eat it because he couldn't get the staples off. That's good. Which is,
yeah, he's like,
holy shit.
I'm sleepy. I'm just going to hug my giant pixie stick.
He crashed out
from
his candy.
Wow.
So the one that Timothy ate contained enough cyanide to kill 2 fully grown adults, and all the others contained enough to kill 3 or 4.
Oh, my God.
When questioned by police, Ronald couldn't remember what house the candy came from. This was suspicious because they only went for about 2 streets because it was raining so bad that night.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of hard. You only come across 10 to 20 houses on 2 streets.
Right.
So it's weird you don't remember. But when police questioned everyone on their block, they discovered that none of the houses had even given out pixie sticks.
Ooh.
Police walk with Ronald to see the house he had gotten the candy from, and he pointed him out, pointed it out to them and said no one opened the door fully, just a hairy arm came from around the door and handed them the 5 pixie sticks.
Okay, I'm going to rush right over and give this to my kid.
The home was owned by a man named Courtney Melvin. Melvin was an air traffic controller and didn't return home that day until about 11 p.m. And around about 200 people were able to account for him being at work that day because he worked at the airport. Okay. So
nice solid alibi.
Yeah. Throughout their investigation, police discovered Ronald was about $100,000 in debt, about $600,000 to $700,000 now, like this year.
Oh, yeah.
He also struggled to hold a job. In the 10 years leading up to the crime, he had over 20 jobs.
Holy moly, that's a lot.
Yeah. Around the time his son's death, his current job was under review because he was suspected of stealing. He was an optometrist.
Shit.
His car was about to get repossessed and his house was about to get foreclosed on. They also discovered that Ronald had taken out a $10,000 life insurance policy on both of his kids just months before.
Late
September, he took out an additional $20,000 insurance on his kids. So totaling $30,000 now.
$30,000 on each kid?
Yeah. And only days before Halloween, he took out another $20,000.
Another? Okay, so we're up to 50 each.
100,000 covers his debts.
Yeah. What a dirtbag.
So they also learned throughout the investigation that Ronald visited a chemical supply store but left after learning the smallest amount of cyanide he could purchase was 5 pounds.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
What
there should be a
what
minimum,
do you need?
Not a maximum on that.
Right. There's... What? What? How? What are you going to use that much cyanide for? What is the
we'll
what
find
is the
out.
Use for cyanide other than murdering someone?
I mean,
nah, I gotta look that up. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think they use it for like developing different poisons, like for animal, like what am I trying to say? Insecticides and shit like that, probably.
Okay, let's see.
Could be wrong.
Industrial and manufacturing uses.
Yeah, what do they say?
Mining, chemical synthesis, plastics and fibers, metallurgy, paper and textiles, pest control, photography,
pest
chemistry.
Control. That wrong. That was a complete.
Yeah,
shot
you were good.
Dark, so I'm glad
you're
I was
good.
Right.
I still think if you're buying cyanide. Gigantic red flag that you're gonna off somebody.
Yeah, that seems a little Ronald was arrested on November 5th for the murder of his son Timothy and 4 counts of attempted murder because he pled not guilty. It was discovered that in the days leading up to the murder he had taken an unusual interest in cyanide.
Oh, okay.
Several people testified saying he was asking how much to kill people, how to buy it, and bragging about having some.
What did you, again, keep your mouth shut.
On June 3rd, 1975, a jury took 46 minutes to find O'Brien guilty of capital murder and four counts of attempted murder.
Good.
The jury took 71 minutes to sentence him to death by lethal injection.
Woohoo!
Shortly after he was convicted, his wife filed for divorce, which...
Yeah. As you do.
I feel like if you stayed with him, you'd get more, right? If it's a...
No.
He's gonna die anyways. Like, if you file for divorce, I think they should have. But if you stay with him, you get all of it, right?
They could have. They should have fed him those leftover pixie sticks.
Well,
and been like, they fed him "Here you go, something. Ronald."
She later remarried, and her new husband adopted her daughter Elizabeth. O'Brien was executed by lethal injection at the Huntsville unit, and his last meal consisted of a T-bone steak. Medium to well done, French fries and ketchup, whole kernel corn, sweet peas, lettuce, and tomato salad with eggs and French dressing, iced tea, saltines, Boston cream pie, and rolls.
Jesus, that's a lot of food. If I tried to eat that much food, it would kill me. They wouldn't have to lethally inject me. They'd just give me all the food and I would explode.
What would your last meal be?
I don't know what my ass. I don't know.
You haven't thought about that before? Because I've done, whenever I do a a death row thing, I think about what my last meal would be. And I think it would be amazing.
It'd probably be pasta, because you know I love friggin' pasta. Any kind of.
Yeah, I'd get the seafood pasta from Osteria. Mm. I'd do a lobster roll, I'd do a bowl of chili. I would do probably blackberry pie with ice cream on top for the dessert and some Miller High Life to wash it all down.
Miller High Life.
Yeah, champagne and beers.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, the candy man. Check out your kids'
like
candy.
What a dickhead.
There's never been, well, according to the article that I read, there's never been a reported, like, stranger poisoning children's candy. It's always been
actual
people who
fucking
know the
parent
kids.
Who's trying
yeah,
to off
like
their
parents
kid.
Or family members, yeah. So that's a weird thing because everyone hears like, oh, razor blades and candy apples and
right.
shit like that.
Yeah,
but, like there's never been a reported case, but that. They also say there's never been a reported case of death videos being produced.
Oh.
The FBI says that. I forget. Snuff films. They said there's no evidence of snuff films, but that's wrong. Clearly.
I've never seen one, but I bet they exist.
Never
I'm
seen
just
one,
saying.
But Instagram gets real close, I swear.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Okay, let's hear this weird sound.
Okay.
Well, we won't hear it, but tell us about it.
Right. We're not going to hear the weird sound. No thanks. Ever heard a weird sound that annoyed you? Maybe you searched high and low to find the source. Now imagine that you hear that sound most of the time, but someone sitting next to you doesn't hear it at all.
It happens to me at fucking work.
Yes.
The fact
basically
machine.
That's it, most
all of the
my
I
days.
Work with make fun of me because we had a printer beforehand. We get faxes, no noise. We get a brand new printer. It's like a 2025. And it makes the old school fax noise.
Oh,
no. And everyone makes fun of me because it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And it's because I sit closest to it and everyone's like, oh, right. I don't even really hear it. But it's like for minutes because we never get faxes and they never go through. So it just does it for 5 minutes. It's like,
oh. That's annoying. Well, you've been in the house when dad used to have a laptop that when it was plugged in, the power box on that thing hummed and I could hear it. And it drove me crazy. You and I could both hear it and he could not hear it at all. So basically, this is like our life story. Lights. Oh, yeah. I don't get that.
I can hear him.
I can hear him, too. I can tune him out, which is why I listen to stuff all the time. But we're going to talk about that a little bit, too. Might make you feel frustrated, or maybe you just get used to it after a while. We're going to talk about a specific sound and a place today, not just weird sounds in general. For this bizarre story, we're going to New Mexico, specifically the town of Taos, New Mexico. It is a town in the north central region of New Mexico. It's located about 50 miles south of the Colorado border. This is a small town of less than 7,000 people and is described as laid back and artsy. Artists first started coming to the area in the late 1800s, and now it is well known to be a beacon for all types of artists. The town even hosts regular art residencies. So not just like painting artists, but also like musicians and poetry and writers of all genres. Apparently that's a really cool place to just go be with other artistic-y people. This little town isn't just known for the art, though. It is also known for a strange sound that several of the inhabitants have reported hearing for decades. It's called the Taos Hum. To be honest, though, the hum is not unique to Taos and has actually been reported all over the world, but we're focusing just on Taos today. In general, the hum is described as a low-frequency sound similar to a vehicle idling down the street. Some describe it as, describe it more specifically as a whirring or a buzzing sound, but the term hum has been widely adopted to describe a sound that some hear, but wasn't easily identifiable.
Can they feel it in their body? Like, you know, when you're at a concert and you feel the speaker like vibrating, mm-hmm. can they feel the vibration throughout their body, or is it just like a low hum?
Super timely of you to ask that question, because a few individuals describe the sound as a physical sensation similar to a vibration that they feel in different parts of their body.
Okay.
So some people feel it as well as hear it.
As well, but they're okay.
Yeah. But not everybody reports the sensation part, like the feeling sensation, the vibration. They just report the sound.
Taos, Mexico.
Taos. Yep, Taos, New Mexico.
T-A-O-S?
Yep. About 2% of the population have reported experiencing the hum, and it is often more noticeable in at night or early in the morning. Temperature may also play a factor, as many people hear the hum when the weather is cooler and with a light breeze. I don't know why that would be, but that is the case, apparently. For most people, the annoying sound can be drowned out by using a fan or radio to mask the sound. But covering the ears wasn't usually very effective and might have caused some people to have severe side effects like nausea, headache, diarrhea, or fatigue. Which, could you imagine having diarrhea because you put your hands over your ears to prevent hearing a sound? That's a very drastic reaction from your body that I don't like.
They're in Mexico. That's called Montezuma's Revenge.
And yes, but this is New Mexico.
Contaminated water.
Yes.
Oh, New Mexico. This is
New Mexico. Taos, New Mexico. Or by Colorado.
Does suggest that they're located on or near significant ley lines. So that's what I wanted to look up. But
scientists have attempted to study the sound to determine the cause. However, since not everyone hears the hum and not everyone can agree on what it actually sounds like, it makes identifying it difficult. Sensitive listening equipment was set up in the homes of several people who report hearing the hum. The equipment was set to measure sounds, seismic activity, and electromagnetic fields, but unfortunately, no source for the hum could be identified. However, the study did determine an elevated electromagnetic field associated with the town's power lines, but for some reason, they decided that wasn't what was causing it. Maybe because so few people heard it, but they kind of ruled that out. They were like, okay, there's humming coming from power lines, but that's not it. We have loud humming power lines close to our house at Putnam's Point. And the only reason I know that it hums is because I have driven under those things when I had a convertible and I could hear it driving under it. It was very annoying.
Good sign.
No, it's not.
You ever seen one of those blow up?
No, I don't want to. Sounds like a bad thing.
Blow up. It was crazy.
I did see something on Instagram where there was like a fiery, I don't want to say a flame because it wasn't really, it was like blue-green arcing coming off of a transformer. I don't know if it was real, you know, because half the shit you see, if not more, on the internet is fake. But I don't know. It looked kind of cool. Definitely would scare the shit out of me.
I was driving home when I was working janitor. I would drive home 2 or 3 in the morning.
Right.
In Salem, like downtown, there was a big storm and I see like a So I saw like a giant flash. It looked almost like lightning hit the ground. Like probably 2 or 3 blocks in front of me because I was driving downtown. And then I see the transformer was throwing out a ton of sparks and there was a live cable flinging around the road, and I had to dodge it with my truck. Is in the middle of an intersection.
Terrifying.
But it literally lit up the entire sky like a fucking bomb went off. Like there's so much power going through that. It's crazy.
That is scary. I don't know. I don't like it. Over the years, there have been lots of suggestions about what the cause of the sound could be. Some believe the explanation is very simple and that it's an internal physical circumstance known as spontaneous autoacoustic emission. Those are several fancy words that basically mean a sound generated inside of the ear, not evoked from a source outside of the body.
So like vibration.
Well,
right? Something's vibrating. When,
like the mechanics of hearing,
like
there's
the bones in the ear, right?
A sound wave, yes, that hits your tympanic membrane, and that causes the bones inside of your ear to bump up against each other and vibrate, and then that translates to you hearing a sound. Apparently, your ear can just decide to vibrate those bones without any outside source of sound, which I didn't know. But apparently it's a thing that was noted in the late 1970s, and it has been studied since then.
Is it like an electromagnetic thing?
I don't think so. I think it's more of like a mechanical thing inside of your ear.
Like a seizure? Oh my God, my fucking neighbors. Kids are running around like crazy. That's driving me fucking nuts.
I can't hear them. So
I can hear them. It's driving me fucking nuts.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Other people's kids. I don't think it's an electromagnetic thing. I think it's more of a physical change in the bones inside of the ear, or maybe I don't know, but apparently some people have that, and that could explain why some people hear the hum and others don't.
Is that tinnitus?
It, they're saying the explanations on this hum is they're saying that autoacoustic emissions are different from tinnitus. I don't know why, but they said they're different.
Okay.
It could be solely based on the health and structure of a person's ears that's causing this. Another physical explanation could be those that hear the hum just have very sensitive hearing. Like, you and I both have very sensitive hearing, which is why we can hear shit that your dad can't hear. And you can hear that annoying printer at work when other people are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about a psychological explanation?
And they make fun and it's like, you never had to live with a printer that makes it. I'm like, it's 2025. The printer doesn't need to make the fucking noise.
Agreed.
Sorry.
It doesn't need to make those kind of sounds.
Complaining about the damn printer.
That's okay. Some researchers believe that the hum might be just an auditory hallucination. This could be a legitimate explanation based on the fact that some of the people who report hearing the hum have continued to hear it even after moving away from Taos. However, those individuals are rare, as most of the people who report the hum state that it is site-specific, meaning that they only hear it when they're in a certain area, and if they drive away from that area, the sound goes away too. Researchers have also looked at the physical environment around the town when trying to determine the cause. One independent study looked at high-pressure gas lines and found that many of the reported cases were close to those type of gas lines.
So, I don't think this is related at all, but have you heard the stories about the people that live near the AI plants?
No.
So, apparently, there's like a low hum that these AI plants make, and it drives people fucking nuts. Like,
is
the people that,
that
live there.
Because of the servers, like the amount of servers?
It's the amount of servers, and it's probably using so much electricity, and it's like probably emitting like a weird noise just because there's so much energy there. There's probably it's fucking with the electromagnetic field of the earth, I feel like.
I have heard that.
But the places the hums, where like, they have make people sick and shit, like,
yeah,
people have to.
I've heard that several of the places that have the AI servers, they've had to create their own energy plants. So they're building like nuclear energy plants just to power the servers for the AI.
And it's because people are saying, oh, thank you to ChatGPT. It's like,
right.
They're using. So for some reason, they also use fresh water to power these things, which is fucking stupid. But that's
weird.
Another thing. It's another podcast. I don't want to get into it. But
right.
Keep going with your story.
Explanations for the hum in other areas have included industrial equipment, jet stream interference, and even animals. But none of these things seem to correlate with the hum in Taos. An interesting side note on the hum is that some of the people who experience it have also noted that their dogs seem to react to the hum at the same time that they are noticing it.
I was going to ask if the animals react to the hum too.
The doggies would be more acceptable. Get upset.
Susceptible.
Yeah. Maybe someday there will be a determination of what is causing the hum across the world and in Taos. But for right now, no, there's no explanation.
Ley lines. Taos is in ley lines.
Could be the ley lines.
Say ley lines.
Maybe.
Do you have a chaser for us?
I do have a chaser. I have a bonus cocktail. That I invented all by myself for the fall season. It's similar to some others, but the ratios of my cocktail are unique, I believe. At least according to AI, because I said, here's my recipe. Is that anybody else's recipe? And they were like, Not that we can find. So I'm calling it the Maple Harvest Sour. And it is 3 ounces of bourbon, 1.5 ounces of apple cider, 3 ounces of maple. I'm sorry, not 3 ounces, 3/4 of an ounce of maple syrup and 3/4 of an ounce of lemon juice, plus a pinch of cinnamon. And if you want to make it a true sour, you can add in an egg white. If you're going to add the egg white, then add your ingredients, including the egg white, to a shaker and dry shake it without the ice for about 30 seconds. Then throw in some ice and shake it a little bit more so you really get that egg white frothed up to make it creamy. And then pour it over ice. Strain it over ice.
Tasty.
It is delicious. And it's very fall-like, so.
I fucking got these kids' eyes.
Oh, no.
Holy shit.
What's your chaser today besides the kids that are annoying you outside?
My chaser is a watch recommendation for a scary movie. Do you like scary movies, Mom?
Sometimes. I like good scary movies. I'm tired of scary movies that are shitty.
Okay. Because that just pisses me off. This one. Because this is the scariest movie I've seen since Poltergeist.
Oh.
Like. The old school, the 90s, or was that 80s? Late 80s, probably.
80s. Yeah. 80s.
Anyways, it's called Weapons. It's on HBO. And it's about a class of, I think they're third graders that just disappear, except for one kid. They all disappear at 2:17 at night.
This is in our watch list, and we just haven't gotten to it yet.
You should watch
it. It's really good.
It's really good, but I want to talk to someone about, because I have like, I don't want to spoil anything, but
okay.
I got like an undertone of something that I want to just be validified on, because I've only talked to one person who watched the movie and they were like, oh, I didn't see that part of it. But like,
well,
I picked up on something that is like, an undertone that I think they were trying to like throw in there that made me kind of like, why would you do that? But
If we have time today and you have time today and to do a movie, a family movie, then I'd we could watch that.
Cause I watched it in three parts. Cause it's a 2-hour and 9-minute movie. So I like,
I don't know if we can
try to
that.
Watch it. When I found out, it was on a Monday and I just edited and meal prep. So I had like an hour or two to watch the movie and I put it on, got halfway through, got another halfway through. And then I had to watch it in three settings, but I would watch it again. It was really good.
Okay.
Like,
cool.
Cause as soon as I saw this one thing that I need to talk to someone about it.
Okay, like you'll have
one
to
part
tell
that
me.
No one noticed but me. So.
Okay, you'll have to tell me when that part is.
It's the part, it doesn't spoil anything, but when Josh Brolin has the dream.
Okay, Josh Brolin has the dream.
Which sounds good. I love Josh Brolin, so automatically it's
He's a good actor.
I think that just about wrapped us up. Thank you for listening, everybody. Oh my God, I'm gonna fucking. These kids are driving me nutty. They're driving me nutty. Control your kids, people.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Love you,
everybody.
Bud.
Love you, Mom. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.